Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey there, I am Faye Davis, and thanks for joining us for another episode. Today, I talk with Laura Steele, who has just accepted a really exciting new opportunity to be the Director of Business Consulting with Employ Indy starting on April 5th. We did record this interview prior to the announcement, so you will hear me refer to her by her current role at Hendricks County, where she will still be until the end of this week. A recurring theme throughout our interview is the role that relationships play in our life. Whether we're talking about career growth or professional development opportunities, mentorship, or even addressing social change, Laura is a firm believer in the power of people and relationships. She has some really empowering advice for fellow female economic developers and how she continues to be the strong and proud leader that she was meant to be. So let's shift over to Laura. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm super excited because I'm here today with Laura Steele, who is the program director at the Hendricks County Economic Development Partnership. Laura, how are you? I'm so excited you're here.
I am great. And it is a sunny day in Indiana. It's like 53 right now. So us Hoosiers are like ready for shorts.
I feel that. I am in Michigan. So I was just out and about and the sun is shining and it smells like spring might not be too far off. So I'm really thankful for the sun right now.
I know I've been like dancing around whether or not to use the word spring yet. Like I don't want to scare her.
No, it's coming, but it's, you know how it goes in the North. It's like full spring and then there's second winter. So,
yep.
Well, Laura, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. You are recognized this year as a North America's top 50 economic developer. And I would love to hear how you got into economic development. I know some people fall into the profession. Some people do go to school for it. So what is your story? What was your plan when you went to college?
I'm one that fell into it, for sure. I kind of got my first taste of economic development going through a local leadership program that we have. So back in 2014, when I went through that course, we have a whole day that's designated just for economic development and then a couple days surrounding it that kind of touch in business and industry. So it's like economic development adjacent in a lot of ways. But at the time, I was finishing my degree in marketing and just kind of getting my feet underneath me in a professional way. And a position opened up here for a marketing and communications manager. And at the time, I had just finished going through leadership Hendricks County. I had just moved out of Hendricks County into Marion County. So I felt like I was kind of losing my Hendricks County ties. But one of the guys that I went through leadership with was the economic development director for HCEDP. So we had been friends and I saw the job pop up and I was like, hey, I know somebody in marketing and communications. Maybe you'd be interested. And turns out he was. So
I love that.
I know, right? And then I got to work with a buddy and I got to be back in my community and I got to really, get my feet wet with economic development from the inside and immediately fell in love with it. So it's the rest is history, as they say.
I love that. I love that you got into it through the leadership Hendricks County program. That's such an interesting way to do it. And is that so that leadership program, is that through your organization or is it through a different one?
It's a nonprofit here in Hendricks County. So they've been in operation since it's been like 25, 28 years, something like that. And it's still going and it's still strong. And every year they have a new fresh batch of class members from the county. So I'm still very involved in that program too. So it's kind of all just been a fun Hendricks County bundled package since then.
So this is completely off script, but I'm very curious, does your organization partner with them? Is that why they address economic development as a big part of the leadership program?
Yeah, so it's every month they have one day that's fully dedicated to a topic that's community related, and then they have leadership pieces that are tied into it. So there is, local government day, there's a business and infrastructure day, there's an education day. So they have all of these pieces that are kind of part of the larger puzzle that is the county as a whole. And economic development is one specific day that's part of that. So we're always involved in that day. And typically, especially we're a small organization, there are only three of us. But if we have a new person that comes on board, they're almost always a shoe-in for the program because it is so important that we are tied into that conversation year after year, not only from maybe a presenter perspective, but also, you know, as a class member that's learning about the community. It's a great way to just get immediately ingrained in all things Hendricks County.
I love that. I think it's such a interesting and intentional way to structure a leadership program. So kind of digging a little bit deeper into that, do you feel like because of that program that your county itself, and I'm assuming it's open to leaders across the board in various industries, do you feel that your county is more in tune with economic development because it's addressed in such an intentional way for leadership development?
Yeah, I think what it does for economic development specifically for the whole year is lets people see into the world in the finite ways. They understand more how economic development really is everything. And one of my coworkers who is our business development director recently spoke to her college alumni of her college to existing economic development majors about how economic development is everything and everything is economic development. And so I think in that sense, it definitely gets people in the community to see that. From the day's perspective, my favorite thing about it is the nuances of growth and the more traditional economic development sense of like new business, expanding business, infrastructure, things like that. They get to see all of the nuances, you know, where we have, you know, Facebook chatter pages for all of our communities where people are like, we really want a Meijer or whatever it might be. That day really allows us to be like, let's talk about why you don't get a Meijer or why you do get a Meijer and really like step back and get them familiar with the process because, you know, we all kind of have this like Parks and Recs idea of how things operate on a comical level, but it's so real and true as well. You know, there's so many moving parts to it that it's just a really important program to helping people understand kind of the pieces that are all underneath it on a much more granular level. So it definitely does that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, back to you. you mentioned earlier that when you were looking for a job, you were, you know, you tapped your friend that you had met during the leadership program. And you recently lamented that, I don't want to get the wording wrong, but that it can be tricky to navigate bold strengths as a woman. And that sentiment kind of hit me right in the gut because it's so easy for women to be perceived as bossy instead of good leaders or the B word instead of assertive, you know, things like that, you know. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that and how you navigate that intricate balance between being a strong, proud, and bold leader rather and kind of shying away from being labeled the opposite or the more negative connotations of those terms?
I think it really, and I'm going to just speak from my specific experience and my role in my community, there's still a lot of dated expectations of females, especially since in our world, it is a little bit more of a male dominated field. And then you kind of add on top of that, I'm 36 this summer. I've only been in the industry, for 5 years. You know, it wasn't intentional, you know, it's not a part of my education history, all of those things. So, you know, coming into it, I immediately soaked up a lot of ideas and built a lot of relationships and am very, very fortunate to have a lot of really great accomplishments in that time frame. But I think the thing that allows you to be all of those things really starts with building fundamental relationships. And, you know, I don't really walk a fine line when it comes to being who I am and expressing my thoughts and my ideas, but I also make sure that I'm doing those things in a relationship that has a much more solid, sound footing in who I am as a person. You know, there's that time frame where it's kind of like dating, you know, you've got to kind of get to know the person and feel them out and understand what that relationship is going to look like. And I think as I've gotten older and more ingrained in the community, specifically here in Hendricks, but also the industry in my region and in my state, people know me. And I think when I have those bold personalities come out, if that relationship is solid and they understand who I am as an individual and what my passions are, that's when those bold personality pieces are appreciated and valued and responded to really well. And this is for anybody, you know, you want people to value those pieces of you and not see them in a different light. So what's happened is if I've found out that a certain relationship doesn't have that foundation, therefore the bold personalities are maybe perceived a little bit differently, I've come to recognize that. And I don't want to say be okay with it or dismiss it or whatever, but you also learn to kind of move past it, to understand mm-hmm. that relationship is going to be something different. And you have to be able to then kind of take with a grain of salt when you hear that negative feedback or you hear those replacement words that maybe aren't what you are, and just kind of go, that makes sense, because that relationship is not built on this solid footing where that person understands me fundamentally. So I think that, as with everything, when you mature, you start to recognize those things and you start to figure out how you can continue to be yourself and not compromise those personalities. But at the same time, understanding that you do live in a world where everybody, you might not be everybody's cup of tea. And yeah. You do have to kind of have a level of self-awareness and ability to move past that. So that's kind of been my reaction to it. And it's not always easy. You don't always love hearing someone criticize a fundamental piece of your personality. But at the same time, that's okay. There are some people I don't necessarily care for either. And it's all good. We still are adults and we function in an adult world. So
yeah. No, I love your insights. I think it's so, so key, and it's such a big part of I don't like using the word, but a part of adulting, right? Is like not only understanding other people, but understanding yourself on a very fundamental level. So how do you pour into your own cup? How do you discover your own, more about yourself, diving into that self-growth piece, maybe on a professional level or a personal level, but how do you pour into yourself so that you can be more available to share and pour into others?
It just really goes back to relationships. I actively try and seek out people that I can learn from, number one, but also people that want to help me learn. You know, it's one thing to reach out to somebody and look up to them and ask them to be a part of your growth process or to help them, you know, fine tune your skill sets or whatever it might be. But it's completely different when you have someone who maybe seeks you out to do that for you, or maybe someone who, when you ask them, they're like, I thought you'd never ask. Like, I love interacting with you and I think you've got great potential. So even at, you know, 36, which I started my career later than most, but also, you know, kind of had a pretty firm understanding of what I was passionate about pretty early on. But there are still so many people older and younger than me that I look to help guide and fine tune and build me up as an individual while also building up my capabilities to do my job. I'm definitely a lifelong learner and hope that that continues lifelong. So yeah. To be able to be around people that want to instill new ideas and new practices and new ways of thinking, I'm thirsty for that at all times. And I think that helps keep my reservoir full too.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I kind of want to shift just a little bit in terms of topics, but we are kind of, not kind of, we are at a precipice in our country where we're teetering on an edge, right? We are teetering on an edge, and we have to acknowledge that systemic alienation of a large chunk of Americans, whether that's socially, economically, racially, foundationally. And what do you think the impact is that economic developers have on social engagement? And what is our responsibility and our ability to be drivers of social change?
So I guess before I go into it, I want to say two things. I'm going to recognize that probably in this response, I'm going to say a lot of buzzwords, and I'm not trying to be buzzwordy in doing that, but it's part of probably just
the topic. But I also feel like buzzwords tend to become buzzwords because they're important.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And I guess my first buzzword, I guess, is I recognize that answering this question, I'm coming at it from a huge place of privilege. Like, even just like sitting in this office right now, thinking about being able to be in this office, having a job, like looking around at all my, you know, fun office decor, knowing that I'm going to get in a car on my way home, that I'm going to go to a home, like all of these things. I'm super privileged and very aware of that. And this year is definitely, really the last couple of years have definitely heightened that awareness. So to speak to that from a place of privilege, I think that my role is always to advocate, to learn and to advocate. You know, our community is very white. There's about 87%, I think, of our community is white. In the state of Indiana, it's like 83%. You know, so we definitely live in a world where we see a lot of ourselves. We think that probably most of the places that we don't even see into, that probably looks very similar on the inside. And everything that's happened this year has only, in my opinion, driven the need for us to acknowledge that those places that we're not in do look different. And so even though Hendricks County is 87% white, we have major businesses and corporations from all over the US and all over, you know, the world that come here to operate. You know, the supply chain logistics industry is huge, and we house big names like Walmart and Amazon and Kohl's and UPS. Like, these big companies operate in areas that are very demographically different from us. So from an economic development standpoint, everything that's happening in this world should directly impact the way we operate as an organization, because we represent a much bigger pocket of people than just residents. You know, we're talking about business and industry leaders from all over. We're talking about a labor pool that pulls predominantly from Indianapolis, which is more diverse than we are. You know, we're talking about having industries that have a lot of entry-level jobs. So people of different education and background levels are coming in and supporting our community and trying to grow and be better in our community, whether they live here or not. We have to be self-aware, and we have to reflect that in the way that we present ourselves as individuals and organizations. So I think all economic developers have to be able to do that and have to be able to say, I need to put a lot of maybe my own bias and perceptions away, deal with them, first of all, then put them away, change them, shift them, learn why those things don't benefit me, my company, my community any longer. It's to the detriment of our industry and our community if we don't do that. So, you know, personally, doing a lot of just self-exploration and learning and trying to find out how to navigate those privileges myself, but then also how to move those things into my professional life and my work community, to understand that that is hugely important to us continuing to be a great place to do business, you know, and to work and to live and to play and all these other things that we hope come after, you know, building a strong economic system.
Yeah. Oh, Laura, I don't think that was buzzwordy at all. Okay. I think it was a very coherent and accurate assessment of how economic developers can play a role in what is going on. When you think about telling your community story, because you are a marketing person, when you think about telling the story, we hear a lot that, you know, and I think it's a pretty universal thing for economic developers to have a hard time telling the story behind the deals. So telling that story of like, okay, this gets its 15 minutes of fame in the media, like we just announced a huge deal, but do you realize that there's a decade worth of work behind it? What are your insights on marketing those stories to your community and staying on top of looping the community stakeholders into the story of economic development?
I'll be honest, we don't do a great job of touting our success and how we do things. I think part of that is...
You're not alone, just okay. So you know. You are not the only one.
And I think part of that is, as economic developers, we're always stretched and overworked, right? Like, I don't know anyone that works in economic development that's like, I work 40 hours a week and I take every vacation day and I have a great work-life balance. Like, we're not known for that. Let's be real. So part of it is just like the capacity to be able to do the work, share the work, you know, celebrate the work, all of that in one. What I do think we're really good at, but I think translates into that celebration and that marketing of who we are is we have great relationships in our community, not only with the municipalities and the people that operate throughout the county and the region, but also with the businesses. So we had a huge workforce development grant that we got 2 years ago. We just wrapped up this past May. That was solely around working with supply chain and logistics folks here in the community. And through that grant, we were able to build really strong relationships with companies that were already here, but also had a really great, like, get inside the door kind of conversation for the people that were coming in. So when we had that, I think that helped solidify some things that allow us to do that long-term relationship building and even setting a great foundation in the beginning to maintain that long-term relationship in the future. So I feel really good about those things. And I think that, sure, it hurts sometimes when you look on, you know, the Indiana Business Journal or Inside Indiana Business or the Indy Star or whatever, and you see other communities who are talking about landing huge projects, like, yay, that's awesome. I am all for, you know, regional support. But at the same time, I want to be like, we just landed a new project too, you know, and we don't always get to be seen front and center. So you do have to also kind of have a little bit of an ego check and just recognize, like, we're getting the work done. We're doing it well. We're still bringing in a lot of business. We're still known for being a great community to do business in. We still have an amazing quality of life. You know, all of these things are still there. So, okay, we're not in the newspaper every other day. We would like for that to be, but we have to be able to take the win that is doing our jobs and doing it well. So, you know, just kind of accepting that maybe we're not the best at marketing, but also knowing, hey, that's cool because there's room for improvement too.
Yeah, it's an ever-growing journey. There's, yes. I feel like with most stuff, there's it's just a journey to get better, and there's never going to be an end point.
Yes, absolutely.
Because even once you reach that really, really awesome point, there you're going to have to elevate and continue to grow and be better.
It's the next level.
So, Laura, let me finish on this one question, and I really like this question because we do have a fair amount of listeners that are emerging leaders in the industry. What advice do you have for those up and coming leaders? Maybe think back on yourself 5 years ago when you were coming into the industry. Maybe you can aim the advice at your younger self or at these up and coming leaders. What would you tell them?
A couple things. I think never be afraid to fail at something. That's a really uncomfortable place to be in personally, professionally, no matter what, for a lot of people. But if you are surrounded by a supportive community and a supportive group of professionals, they will understand that failure is part of a learning process. So try and find those relationships, try and find the people that want you to grow through any means necessary. And sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable, but if you're willing to do that, you can learn so, so, so much about economic development. You know, it's a lot of trial by fire. The other thing is just be a sponge. Listen to people who have other thoughts and other experiences. Surround yourself with people who are willing to be challenged, because I think that also breeds learning for yourself and the person you're working with. You know, be okay with thinking differently than those around you. We're an industry that's always shifting and always innovating and always ebbing and flowing with what's important and what's at the top of the list. So it's a great industry for people that don't like to be stagnant. And it's a great industry for people that just like to kind of ride that wave and are adaptable with that. So I would never discourage anyone from getting into economic development in any way, shape, or form. And that is a really wide spectrum of opportunity. Because I do think it's such a great industry and there's so much room for so much strategic, individual, adaptable, fun things to be done. So find somebody who will help you navigate and just enjoy the ride.
I love it. Laura, thank you so much for your time and for your insights that I learned a lot from you. And I think they were really on point for our industry. So again, thank you for your time and congratulations on being a top 50 winner.
Thank you. It was astonishing. And to whoever had a role in allowing me to be part of this list of unbelievable people, not only currently, but in the past, thank you a million times over, whoever you are. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.